podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
150 years of breakthroughs, milestones, and triumphs. 150 years of Children's National Hospital. 150 years of generous community support. You can give kids a future where they get freckles instead of chemotherapy and paper cuts instead of surgery. Children's National Hospital. 150 years stronger with your help. Please give today. Visit childrensnational.org/150years. That's childrensnational.org/150years.
Turn off your laptop. We're on staycation.
I'm on totalwine.com. They have so many rosés, chardonnays, and proseccos. It feels like a real vacation.
Wondrous selection, helpful guides, ridiculously low prices. Total Wine and more.
First time ever I saw your face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes.
Lucas, it's the Day Trippers.
Okay, good evening. It's been a bit of a delay getting the pod out this week, mainly because it's been Easter and lots of other things going on, as you might find out later on the pod. So up tonight, we've got a little reduced crew. It's myself, Stephen and Sean. A little bit shorter because we are close to the weekend and the match is nearly upon us. We have a sort of ramble around what happened at West Brom. We look on to Crystal Palace coming up and the injury crisis that faces us, and discuss what type of Easter eggs, more or less, we got at the weekend, and Stephen's trips up to Kilrona, and he wasn't too impressed with that. So, lads, let's begin. Good evening. Right, lads, back in the bunker. I have Stephen, I have Sean,
hello.
And I have Trev here.
That's right.
Cheers, Trev. I'm sure you'll be chiming in at Jordan the pod in certain parts. Anyway, we're obviously in to talk about the West Brom game, Palace game coming up, and anything else that comes to mind as we go through it. So, lads, the West Brom game, another win, great win, obviously against Pulis and the Works. Shawnee, how happy are you on the scale of 1 to 5?
5, I suppose.
5? Yeah. That's grand. Okay. Stephen, how happy were you?
4.17.
4.17.
I like to be specific about these things.
I like it, yeah. Was that because the XG was slightly off?
The XG, man, I couldn't believe it. And you know, expected shots.
Yes.
You know, they were down by 3.84%.
Yeah.
And that really put a spanner in the works for me enjoying the game.
Did it?
I thought to myself, where are these 3.847% of shots gone? Where are they gone?
When
someone explain it to me. So I went straight onto Twitter, and it turned out there were 4 cunts on Twitter that could explain that to me somehow, because it doesn't even exist.
Then you threw your phone away again.
Anyway, I'm not going to spend the next hour complaining about wankers on Twitter. I just don't use it anymore. And it's made my life better.
Yeah. And so,
So the match. Yeah, listen, you can't be upset coming away with any sort of win from a Pulis team and West Brom. You know what I mean? Both on their own are a pain in the hole when you're playing them in the Hawthorns, or you're playing a Pulis team. You're playing both together. You get 3 points. Who gives a gee?
Yeah. John?
Yeah. I actually thought it was a good performance. I think like 1-0 flattered them a little bit. Because the second half, early, like up until around the hour mark, we had fucking chances to just put the game to bed.
It's great to win 2-0, isn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
You know, but I mean,
even in the first half, like we were cagey. It was a cagey first half, but I think that might have been purposely, because I think Klopp didn't want to go fucking gung-ho, because we were very tentative. We were just moving the ball around, holding on to the ball. We weren't forcing anything. And I think that kind of got to them a little bit, because they were probably expecting us down their throat from minute one, but we didn't. It was a real fucking... We done a job on them.
Yeah.
And it was a 1-0 win at fucking the hard times.
Listen,
you take that all day.
Take 5 more 1-0 wins, thanks very much, and we're guaranteed Champions League football.
It was
thank you.
It was a mature performance.
What?
Bank it.
Yeah.
No, it was a very mature performance.
I agree. Yeah, yeah. And it's a pity we haven't seen more of them throughout the season. We definitely could have done with them. I know it's a ridiculous sort of comment in hindsight, but I mean that approach to the game. I have taken 33 1-0 wins, but saying the approach to the way we're
very fucking naive when it comes to them games, trying to play in bash goals past teams where we held onto the ball there, we probed. And we ended up we won 1-0 at the Hawthorns with a fucking set piece and Lucas assisted. Fucking rainbows. It's one of them things.
Did you pinch yourself?
I was kind of going, what the
fuck? I'll be honest with the, for the goal, right, I remember we got the free kick and it was all bang on half time, and I was just thinking to myself, this might be one of these where we just score before half time and it just suddenly changes the complexion of the game. And like
did,
that,
because we were 1-0 up then.
Yeah, I know. But if you come out 0 all after half time, you're still chasing the win.
Yeah, it's, you get nervy, more nervy the more time goes on. Obviously, yeah, absolutely. No, I think it was a good performance, and as I think Sean wrapped it up there with a mature performance. I think that's exactly what it was. Go on, Sean.
Well done. Stephen's impressed. Yeah. That's good to know. Going back to the Lucas thing, right? So everyone was a bit surprised to see him in the team sheet. My own view, like, I'm not a fan of Tyler Lucas, but like my own view is we all knew that Pulis was going to go long. The one thing Lucas tends to be decent at is heading the ball for 89 minutes of the game. There will be that 1 minute just towards the 90th minute where it just go over his head or something like that. Yeah. Or kick someone. Yeah. Just around the edge of the box. But you could see what he was put in there to do, Stephen.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, you know, it's typical of our fan base again, isn't it? You know, one side that want him to die on the pitch, Mark Vivian Foe style, just fucking keel over. And you have the other side that want him to get a new contract now because he played two fucking games.
And a statue.
Yeah, you know, like, let's just rip down Bill Shankly and have Lucas there with his hands out instead at the front of the ground, you know.
Like somebody said, we're going to have him just poking around the corner.
Yeah.
Saying
yeah,
unlucky as you get close to the statue. Unlucky!
you know, it's one or the other, isn't it? Polar opposites. Yeah, he did a job. Still needs to go in the summer.
I think it's mad though that fucking people are trying to justify him getting a new contract.
There's no justification. Zero. You know,
just let him off.
This fella's a specialer. So we need to fucking take it easy on him.
Yeah, but even then, like, to the fans who are a fan of him and want them to stick around, just picture someone in his role who is more capable. How good they'd be for the side. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just that why used to having Lucas around is like part of the furniture.
Yeah. It's constantly what we say, improve your first team. And let your first team players become your squad players. Let your squad players move on. That's what we need to do. And yeah, we're going to have European football. Yeah, we need a bigger squad for next season. But that doesn't have to include Lucas. Yeah. It doesn't have to include three or four players. You know what I mean? There's three or four players there that clearly... Moreno's another one. Mm. You know what I mean? How did he miss
I'm not going to over defend him, right? I can see what he was trying to do, and
he was trying to kick the ball in the goal, and he's paid tens of thousands of fucking pounds a week.
It was close.
It was an open. That's what it I was would close. Do. That. I would. I can. And Sean has seen me do it. I would.
It was close.
I could do exactly what he did.
It was quite close.
It wasn't close
if
enough.
If he passed either the lads either side, him, they're offside.
Don't pass it. Kick it in the fucking open goal.
Well, he tried to do it.
He's very bad at it.
Yeah, but he tried.
Do you know what the great thing was after the game? And it was Klopp's reaction after the game. He was like, "I leave him alone. He's a grand young fella. Like, he works hard and he's a great lad." Like, basically saying, look, when I read Klopp's... when I read his reaction, I was like, that tells you all. He was like, he's a good lad and he works hard. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Anyone else, he just would have been like...
That's just one of those things.
I couldn't believe it now when I seen it, because I think I speak for every Liverpool family. When that didn't go in, I was like, imagine thinking these cunts aren't going to equalise.
Yeah. You were thinking they're going to equalise, and you're just thinking, if ever that was just somebody signing his own death fucking warrant, it was that. You know what I mean? Klopp's just going, you are fucking gone in the summer.
Imagine the meltdown.
You know? Yeah. Imagine the meltdown if we'd fucking... conceded after.
Right, let's talk about, we had a brief chat last week and we sort of rubbished the idea that the chap is Manuel Neuer, but like, you know, after the game everyone was saying that Simon Mignolet deserves a...
Hey, good save.
Deserves to be, you know, Belgian number one, and that was, he's proved that he's good enough to be the Liverpool number one, and that he's fixed all his flaws, and that we don't need to sign another goalkeeper in the summer. So, bit of the Lucas in this one.
It's exactly the same as Lucas.
Again. Now, but it seems that Jurgen Klopp feels the same way, because today, and in fairness, thank God, because he addressed the Joe Hart thing, right? This stuff.
I'd rather keep Mignolet than bring in Joe Hart.
I said on Twitter,
I support the Mignolet sons bringing fucking Joe Hart in.
I said it on Twitter. I said, look, even the two goalkeepers we have. I know, because you're not on Twitter. It's the only time I went on during the week. I just gone on just to rubbish Joe Hart. When I see Joe Hart's name mentioned anyway, I go on Twitter.
I'll have to go on Twitter, get him off.
Get rid. But yeah, look, Mignolet and Karius are better goalkeepers than Joe Hart.
I don't know if they are. I'm being perfectly honest with you. No, but the question is, we don't know for definite. Let's not get a third goalkeeper that's the same level as them two. Yeah. Let's get someone better than Mignolet and Karius, and then worry about which one of them two we keep.
Completely agree.
It's really simple. What I liked about Klopp is
he was like, and yeah, Joe Hart is one of the highest quality goalkeepers, but we've already got two of the highest quality goalkeepers, and we will.
Yeah, he's basically. But then he said he's judging it on a wide mean. From Leinster Senior League up to Premiership. So he's one of the better keepers if you're looking at, you know, AOL Division 4.
The best bit was then he said, "Yeah, and no, we're not interested in signing him this season or ever."
Did he?
It was effectively
like, this season or the next 8 seasons until he retires.
The thing is, Klopp's not going to say anything bad about Mignolet and Karius now, because you know what I mean.
Five games left, why would you?
No, but the fact that he came out with, like he says, normally I don't talk about these things, but I just want to. It's Joe Hart to talk about.
It's Joe Hart to talk about.
Okay. He goes, yeah, well, just no. We've got two of the highest quality. He's a really high quality, and he's great. He's the English national keeper, and he's a really good keeper. But no, we're not interested in signing this year or next.
No, that's good. Like, that is good. But, you know, you have to hope that he sticks. You have to hope that Jurgen Klopp sticks to what he said when he joined. And he said, basically, the way he works, he doesn't care about contracts. He doesn't care about the length of contract, any of that shit. He works on a basis, and these are his own words, I work on a basis whereby every player gets a 12-month contract with me. And at the end of that 12-month contract, it's up for renewal by them and by me, whether they want to stay and whether I want to keep them. And that's how I work every summer. And you just have to hope that he picks one of them. I don't care whether it's Karius or it's Mignolet, to be perfectly honest with you. But I want to see an upgrade on them. And then I want to see them, you know, one of them as backup.
But he mentioned that they're bringing Danny Ward back from Huddersfield Town as well. Yeah. And it's the three goalkeepers next season is going to be Ward, Mignolet and Karius. Like, this debate's over. He's not signing at all.
He's made that clear. I haven't been watching really.
He said he's got two high, the Karius and Mignolet will compete, and they're bringing Ward back as for competition.
Call me cynical, but that's worrying for me.
It is worrying, to be honest with you. Oh, I agree. And the reason why I worry is because in 2013-14, Mignolet had an incredible second half of the season. This is after being dropped for Brad Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had a poor start to the season, right? So he's proven consistently over since he was at Liverpool that at some point of the season he has a bad run, which inevitably leads him to him getting dropped. Same thing happens this season. Same thing happens with the things. So it's not to get at him. He's doing the minimal acceptable level you'd want from a goalkeeper that if you're going to be challenged for top four
and playing in the Champions League.
He made a very good save in the match, but again, like the ones the previous week, because he hasn't been making them up to now.
They seem like wonder saves.
Yeah, but the thing is, a lot of people don't realise that you're a goalkeeper yourself. Being a goalkeeper is not actually all about making saves. There's other aspects of your game that need to be organising your defence as much as anything else. Distribution is awful. You couldn't clear the halfway line.
Oh, look, there was one.
That's what I said in there. It's like he's kicking one of them champion balls. It's just blowing back at him.
At one point, it was in the first half. It was about 32 minutes into the first half. He comes running out of his goal. Right, 20 yards up the pitch. Puts his foot fully through it. The ball literally goes straight up.
You're waiting for it to go up and go behind him, aren't you?
Yeah. it literally went straight up and came down before the half went around. I was like, it doesn't even have much hang time. It's like it went up like a rocket and came down like a rocket. How does he do that?
He's managed to do like a lob wedge, a bunker shot.
Yeah. But like, and that's not to slag him off. He's done really well, and he's made some really good saves for us the last few weeks. And fair play, he's 1 point. That's the minimum acceptable level you want from a goalkeeper.
Not one Chelsea fan, not one even Arsenal fan or United fan sees their keeper make those saves and thinks, oh my, they don't get that level of praise because that's what's expected of them.
And that's what they're doing on a regular basis.
Never would you have praised Reina when he was in his pomp for those sort of saves. You're just like, that's why we have fucking
he made three or four of them Reina made three or four of them in that Champions League semi-final against Chelsea, where Drogba coming through when he used his legs to stop one-on-ones. It was either 2000 and it was 2008, 2009, whichever one it was, the one where we ended up losing anyway
in the final.
But Ryan did that on a regular basis, so they stopped becoming these wonder saves. So
that's why there's a big deal being made out about, because it's not the norm. Like, do you know what I mean?
Now listen, hopefully he's able to bring a standard up to that level on a regular basis and make those saves all the time, because if he does, then he solves a problem. Yeah. Otherwise we're back 12 months later, we still have a problem to solve. And that's ultimately where it ends. Midfield wise, lads, Emre Can, it just looks imperious in the centre midfield.
Yeah, he was class again, wasn't he?
Yeah, he
bossed that game again from start to finish. He imposed himself both halves. He was getting up and down. Thought the game passed Wijnaldum boy a bit, not to be too harsh on him, but didn't do a whole lot. Can though as well, like, that's we're kind of come to expect that now from him, haven't we? Like, ever since Henderson dropped out of the team, since we got bashed away at Leicester, he looks slimmer.
Yeah,
for one, he's putting himself about.
He's on the herbal
life. There's talk now that they're going to let his contract run down into the last year. I think that's madness.
Now I want to talk about this, right? Because we aspire to be a Champions League side, a top four side, and we have a midfielder there who's rumored to be on about 50 grand a week. Who's rumored to be on about 50 grand a week. And he's looking for somewhere in around 100 grand, and the club are only prepared to offer him, I think, somewhere in around 70 grand.
He said now during the week that it's not about the money, it's about his role in the team.
Yep. So, Stephen, but even still, money shouldn't come into this at all. We shouldn't be, unless he's asking for 200 grand a week. If you see him as one of your four starting midfielders, right, and something that you're building your midfield around, okay, the going rate for a Champions League side will be in around 100 grand a week for a midfielder.
You know what? Do you want the truth? I don't care.
I know you don't.
And I don't mean that in a, I don't give a bollocks what happens. What I mean is, this is all stuff being leaked from somewhere, speculation, he's looking for this, we're only willing to pay that, whatever else. I truly believe that maybe Klopp is saying, listen, I don't give a fuck about any contract negotiations until we get these next five games out of the way. Yeah, then I know whether we've got Champions League football or Europa League football.
Well, that goes back to the point you made about the 12 months.
Exactly, you know what I mean? You've got that 12 months, and he said, I can imagine him saying, listen, you to fucking whoever, Mick, the fucking prick who's at the top now, and Chan's own representatives, I can imagine him saying, listen, you lads chat about what you want. If I'm getting involved, I get involved at the end of the season. And for me, that's the way it should be. There shouldn't be bullshit about his contract coming up to the end. Just concentrate on your fucking football, Emery. Get the job done. Get into the Champions League. And then I think there'll be no issue. I think we'll see a contract signed in the summer, and it'll be a 4 or 5 year deal and happy days. That's what I expect. And I expect that to happen with any of the players. I don't care reading about this shit. I've just stopped reading it all. And I feel so much better.
You'd imagine Chan is looking at the kind of the situation with Henderson now, because he's not right.
Henderson?
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, absolutely.
Like, there's something not right there. I think he went out 6 or 7 weeks ago with a bruised foot. But now all of a sudden, like, Klopp basically turned around today and says, well, he looks healthy, but he can't play football.
Yeah.
And we don't know what's wrong. Like, that doesn't sound good to me.
It's not
at
good.
All.
It's not good. And he was really impressive for us this season. I think he was anyway.
When he played, yeah.
When he got in and got his run, and you know, we were the better side with him in it.
The biggest issue with this injury, this congenital injury that he has, the weakness in the heel or whatever it is, was that when it came out, when people were saying that this is not something that's fixable.
It's
chronic, and he's going to have to play through it. Would ask you the question then, you know, surely there's a risk there that this fella may never get to the levels, or at some stage it's going to break down. And we've seen plenty of players
like Jamie Redknapp.
Yeah,
prime example of a player who really showed promise and was a great midfielder.
Technically
for us,
brilliant.
And then his injuries just unfortunately let him down as his career went on. And I hope that's not the case for Henderson, because I really like him.
It's not like fucking shoot the fucking horse, it's done, like, John. It's into the glue fight. I just think his role in the team needs to be reviewed now, and I think Klopp needs to go into the summer window with that in mind. Thinking, well, look, maybe Henderson
buy two more midfielders.
I'm not gonna get.
And if Henderson comes back, play the best players then.
Yeah, maybe he's gonna miss 8 to 10 games a season, but that's okay, because if we can get him the optimum for him for fucking 15-20.
Absolutely.
That's fine by me. So maybe they just need to review his position. And with Matip and Lovren as well, because they both missed a lot of football.
I'll put it to you that if we were sitting here last August and I asked you, where was Henderson's best position in midfield and where is Emre Can's best position in midfield, they wouldn't have been the places that they've played the majority of the first half of the season.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have had Henderson as kind of, he was kind of sitting deep, wasn't he, setting up attacks. Yeah. That's probably where I would have had Can.
Yep.
And I would have had Can. I would have had Henderson's best position in the role that Can is actually flourishing in now.
I think Jurgen Klopp had them there until Can got injured.
What I'm saying.
And then it moved. I think the good thing about, like, the thing that I like most about Henderson is that I think you can play him in any of those roles, and within a couple of games, he's comfortable in them. I think, an integral part of our midfield, regardless of where you put him when he's fully fit. The issue is having him fully fit, and that's where we struggle at the minute.
Do you reckon, like, our best option then is to look for another version of Henderson and Can, i.e. he's not a prescriptive one functional part of a midfield, he can play in multiple parts of midfield, and then maybe go for a more attack minded midfielder?
Well, listen, there's a lot to be, like, you look at fucking, I know he's an anomaly in a sense, but you look at Kante and the job he's done for Chelsea. And if you are going to play a system where you want a defensive midfielder or a deep lying midfielder, and we have done that this season, if you're going to do that, then find a specialist to do it. It's a very specific job, and someone who's really good at it really stands out. Now, Henderson did a really good job, but unfortunately we can't rely on him at the minute because of his injury. So I would be saying to you right now, if Henderson wasn't injured, no, we don't need to, because Can can do it, and Henderson's had a brilliant season of doing it. But at the moment, I would say, fuck it, why not have Henderson, Can, Wijnaldum, and one other as your dynamic four in that two sort of roving midfielders in front of the one, you know, and your one is the deep line midfielder.
So
who sits in front of the four?
Would you not need to buy two?
Because Can or Henderson can be the one when the other one is one.
No, I'd buy a whole midfielder.
Yeah,
someone that likes Keita that would be linked there from Leipzig, that lad from Leipzig, and I think the links to Chamberlain, I think that's where Klopp can see Chamberlain playing, because I know he was aren't.
Chamberlain's a bag of shit.
No,
he's a.
But he can play in the middle, and he can play out wide.
Who's Chamberlain?
Oxo.
Chamberlain.
Oh, we're actually discussing him, are we?
Yeah, Oxo Chambermaid.
Oxtail Chambermaid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go on, Sean.
He's piss.
Go on.
But for me,
that's just buying another player to fucking challenge for fourth. That's what it is.
I think he's a good player. And if you got him for the right price. Yeah, but you see 35 million today, and then I see in Spurs, I think Douglas Costa for £30 million.
Yeah, he only has a year left on his contract, doesn't he? Like, the thing is,
to be honest, I don't give a bollocks what we spend on players.
I don't care what we spend.
Said the other day, put it into perspective.
Have we have 200 million now?
If him, if buying him for 35 million
and VVD
takes away from what paying for a marquee signing that we genuinely need, well, then maybe that's not.
Don't think we need a marquee, man. We built a new stand, we've got loads of room now.
We do all our weddings in there.
All our weddings in there.
I think spend the money on it. Like, go and fucking get Lacazette or whatever. Go and get a proper striker. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see us. We don't have one. I don't care what anybody says. Firmino's been okay.
He was brilliant.
I'll go back to what you said. I would rather see us go, boom, here is a specialist midfielder who can go box to box, but is actually more comfortable sitting there holding midfield. So bang, we start that position now. Here is two centre backs, not one, two centre backs. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Let Clavin and Lucas go.
Let Clavin and Lucas go. Look, let's be honest. Lucas has been a makeshift centre back anyway, right? And he's done a reasonably decent job when he's been called on to play there. And fair play to him. But let's sign two centre backs so that we have four centre backs. That if two of them get injured and Lovren and Matip have picked up injuries across the course of the season, you're not concerned about who's going to play. Like, we're looking into the Crystal Palace game, and there's a big chance that neither Clavin,
Gomez.
That Clavin, Matip and Lovren are all out for this game. None of them trained. No, Lovren didn't train.
It's Lucas.
Lucas.
No,
Lucas
Clavin. Lovren didn't train.
Oh, you're just making
didn't
this up. No. I've said something
Lovren
wrong.
Didn't
so I'm with it.
Lovren. They all thought it was Lovren.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It was Lucas with a mask.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. No, it wasn't Lucas. Even he's injured as well. Yeah.
Lucas Clavin and Matip haven't trained. So Klopp actually referred to Big Joe Gomez today.
I know. I read the report.
Fuck it. Why not?
I'll go back to my point. Looking at that, and given that, you know, when you look at the West Brom game, Lovren and Matip play, and again we look very solid defensively, right?
Yeah.
And I don't care what anyone thinks about Lovren, but when Matip and Lovren play together, and they've played a fair few games this season, we've actually got a really good win rate with them. The problem is having
What's
the
our
two
XG with them.
What?
What's our XG?
No,
with
it's
them?
XD when it comes to defenses.
Oh right, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Expected defense.
XGC. Yeah. X goals conceded.
Yeah. Expected goals conceded.
Where, it's the reverse.
Wild. Actually, guys.
It's the reverse of XG.
Yeah.
So if your XG against you is 5. Yeah.
You know you're only allowed to talk about these stats with your penis in your hand.
Stats are allowed old wank, aren't they?
Anyway, right?
Wankers. Stat wankers.
But yeah, if they have played. So what we need is another two top quality centre-backs. Our money should be looking at our defensive side of the team. We're scoring enough goals, but we've still conceded another 50 goals this season.
Disagree.
Why?
Because I want to see a striker. I want us to buy a fucking striker.
There's 200 million to spend.
Yeah, grand. Well, then.
But we're talking about the bleeding issues that's in
right,
the team.
So you want to buy a left back, you want to buy two centre halves, you want to buy a specialist midfielder and a centre midfielder, like a specialist deep line midfielder, centre midfielder, a wide forward and a centre forward.
Well, one up the top.
A new team.
No, see, this is the problem. Everyone thinks that, oh yeah, and then all the other players never play again.
No, I know what you're saying.
They never play.
It's about 60 games next year.
If we're in the Champions League or the Europa League, we've a 60 million games to play next season because you've got the two
we're
cups.
Playing the Intergalactic League.
The Intergalactic League, yeah. They were taking on the lads from Andromeda. But you've got basically, you're going to have all that stuff going on, and then you're going to also have to look at where are you going to...
Well said.
I was incredibly drunk. It's the old age.
Yeah, no, it's
catching up, man. It is, yeah. Where was I now?
So you're saying you have to ask, where are you?
You have to ask. No.
Come on.
Okay, so basically, right, we need to sign those players anyway, even if we weren't deficient in positions. If you want to go in and have a successful league campaign and get Champions League again the following season, you need to sign at least seven starters, because the team we had set up this year and the way we've set our squad up is to say we're only concentrating on the league.
Yeah.
Right? So that to me, you saying we need this, and this, well, we need it anyway.
Yeah, no. I'm whether we get Europa or Champions League, I'm saying we need that. So we definitely need a left back. I don't think any fan out there would disagree with that. You're talking about going for two centre halves, which I'm totally cool with if you're going to shift Clavin and Lucas. We might not. We might only take one and keep one of them. Fair enough. If we do, we do. At the rate that Matip and Lovren get injured, I think it's smart to sign two, to be perfectly honest with you. And just let... It doesn't have to be, oh, he's signed, so that fella's definitely... Like, people just look stupid saying that all the time. They look ridiculous saying, oh, well, he's coming in, so that's definitely Lovren gone.
So he's gone.
Sure, Matip won't play then. You don't fucking know. It's just about who is training well at the time. Players go through cycles of form.
Yep.
They have dips. They have peaks. It happens.
That's the advantage of having a squad and not a Liverpool fan.
Look at Cloyne. Look at the fella hasn't had a day off in about 4 years now.
Yeah,
at this
stage. And I think you will see more of TAA next.
TTA?
TTD. But yeah, I think you will see more of him next season. He'll play more cup games and stuff like that probably. Or he will excel during the summer and he will challenge Cloyne. And great if he
does.
That's
what you want.
Who cares?
That's what you want.
But you just want to have that strength.
But you don't need to sign a right back because of his emergence.
You don't need... No, I don't think you do need to sign a right back.
Yeah,
I agree with you there. I think
that.
There's enough there from him to be able to do that job.
Look, to me, I think we should be going out to sign a left back that replaces Milner, and then Milner challenges there.
Yeah. That's what let's be honest. I don't see Milner coming back into that middle of the park. I don't think he sees himself nearly. He probably hopes for it, but I don't see him coming back into the middle of the park to challenge there. So James Milner will become a very... Listen, he could come in for 10 games a season and play
Milner
in central
midfield.
Milner
will be a great squad player.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he can fill in, he can fill in all
right
over
back. He can fill in left back. He can fill in centre midfield. He can fill in goal. You know, why not?
Up front.
But I'm saying, he is someone that you can definitely have as a great squad player. But then you need to fill your squad with quality. Mm-hmm. This isn't about filler. This mm-hmm. is about putting some fucking quality into that squad now. And it doesn't have to be £60 million players, mm-hmm. as we
just
saw.
Just the right players.
As we saw, Matip was a great signing. Okay, he's had a few injuries, but everybody can see he's had a very good season. I don't think anybody would be disappointed with the performance.
That's
from
what, I don't think we need £200 million either.
No,
like, once you buy the right player.
I would like to see us sign two high quality players, and high quality players who are in their contract cost money. So it's not a case of saying, oh, we have to go out and spend 70 million. But if you want a really top quality centre forward,
you have to pay,
unless there's some anomaly where they desperately want to come to the club, you're going to pay them huge wages and they're coming to the end of their contract.
Yeah.
That isn't the case at the minute with most of the players that are being linked. So we're going to probably have to pay 40, 50 million quid if we want one. Same with a central midfielder. I'm okay with that.
Okay, so look, just on it. So, but the one good thing that's coming out, Coutinho seems to have found a bit of form again.
Yeah,
right. And he's carrying it in. We've got five games. You
he's
want
had
to
a
see
3 month mid-season break. So that was nice.
Origi was good as well.
Origi was good.
Yeah,
and he deserved the praise that Klopp gave Matip. Said he is a good kid and he's working hard. Look, he only turned 22 there.
Yeah,
you know this
seems
is. He
walked his bollocks off though, didn't he?
Yeah,
Venus.
Interestingly, when I was watching Atletico Madrid last night, you watched Griezmann running around the pitch like a fucking mad thing. Just brings you back memories of Suarez, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, if he's gone for 70 million, just spend it.
Oh, like, he's not going to want to come back, but...
Not Suarez. I'm talking about Griezmann.
Oh, yeah. I still think Suarez could be up for grabs this summer, for some reason.
It depends on who takes over.
They're not going to bin Messi. They're not going to bin Neymar because he's a huge name. And Suarez is looking up the arse at 30 now.
Mm.
Yeah, you'd have to pay for it.
Like, if they go for someone like Dybala, who is a class player, what happens to Suarez? Does
nah, there's no
he,
chance.
No chance.
I'm not even going
to
fucking...
Oh, no, I'm not saying he comes back to us. I'm saying
he
doesn't stick around waiting. He might go to Bayern. He might go somewhere PSG like that and do something different. Yeah. But I'm saying you'd have to give him an old text.
You would. Hey, there, Louis.
How are you, Louis?
Hey, keep him there.
How's the curried fish and chips after the matches outside?
How's your daughter on field? I mean, Delphina.
Yeah.
How are you keeping? And how's young Kenny?
Who do you go for? You know?
No, but just one second. Griezmann. If Griezmann is up for grabs and he's available from Atletico Madrid.
Have you just changed his name? What? Just out of interest.
Yeah. Griezmann?
Griezmann. Oh. Griezmann.
Yeah. Griezmann.
Phil Spiderman.
Griezmann.
Right, Batman.
Yeah, Batman.
No, Batman.
Batman.
Poland.
Poland. Yeah, like, you know, I don't think he's coming to us. I think he wants.
I'm saying he's the money, he's there, right?
Yeah.
And he's available. Why aren't we going balls out to try to get him in?
Because he's going to want...
It's a waste of time.
And if we do, there's going to be someone like fucking PSG, you know, willing to give £300,000 a week.
I think we need, like, as much as I'm saying a high-quality signing, I think we need to know our level. And
correct.
In the same way we couldn't have signed Paul Pogba last season, even though I'm glad we didn't, he is being signed as part of a brand. So, you know, Adidas are very strong in that. I don't think there's any doubt they had an influence in him going to United. New Balance don't quite have that same pull.
Are you saying that do you think Suarez could go to United then?
I'm saying anything could happen. I don't think so. But listen, who knows? He's only a fucking employee at the end of the day.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is I think we need to set our sights below that. Like, Griezmann is going to be the most sought... Him and Dybala are probably going to be the two most sought after players this summer.
I don't think Dybala goes anywhere.
No, he won't.
Maybe he doesn't, but I'm saying... there has to be people sniffing around. If people
Monaco,
aren't asking,
Mbappe, he's going to be.
Yeah. And he'll probably end up at Real.
Or Chelsea.
I mean? I don't see him going to Chelsea.
But somebody's
going to
get Aubameyang, right? So, and I think the likely destination is probably Real Madrid.
So that means Benzema is available.
Mm hmm.
Morata. See, that's the.
Morata.
We're talking about goals. Morata. He's not playing a lot of Real.
What about
scored 17 and 36 this season? I think it is.
He's not playing a whole lot. If you were to turn around and say to him, "Look, you're going to get a main,"
role, you know,
in the team.
The problem for us is we're not a year in, year out Champions League.
No, but you look and say Carrasco. These type of players that you're talking about, a wing forward or a centre forward. I'm just talking about a forward. This is a fella who's going to be able to come in and play.
I don't
across
want
the front
a player team. That plays across the front. See, I have a pain in my gee with that.
But this, you need to get past that because I don't believe we're going to sign a central forward.
But that's fine. I don't have to get past it though.
Okay, don't get past it.
Begrudgingly give out about it.
Begrudgingly.
I want someone who stands in the box.
Luis Suarez did not stand in the box. But he was not a fucking wide forward.
He was.
He wasn't.
The way he played, he always drifted out to the left and came in off the left wing. Hole.
Right. Sterling or Coutinho was always out there. Sturridge got
cut in,
bumped out to the other side. And
so Torres, you want someone like a Lacazette or
Sanchez or
Icardi who can come through the middle.
Yeah, Icardi now. Icardi. Yeah.
He has a big horn for Inter, doesn't he? He loves them.
He's mental as well.
Yeah.
He is properly mental.
I don't want a static number nine. Nowhere near that. But what I'm saying is, like Alexis Sanchez, I would take in a heartbeat to play in that the middle of that front three.
But he's going to see.
Of course, yeah, but he probably is.
But that's what they always
then,
do.
Let's get Aguero to play in the middle of that tree. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Why can't...
But that's the way we should be. That's the dream.
My argument here, and this is why I said to Stephen about Griezmann, right, is why are we saying that this is our level? Sometimes, to win big, you've got to dream high.
Yeah, the honest truth of it is, we're not a top team.
No, but here's the other thing.
I disagree with you.
I'm contradicting myself here now. Because there's massive talk of the two Milan clubs spending huge money this summer and signing some big names. And they probably will do it. And if they can do it in a league that doesn't generate anywhere near the money that we generate and they're not Champions League teams, why can't we? Why can't we attract the
players? Because they're going to have
Chinese lads banging out balls.
But they're going to have Chinese lads throwing money around for wages. FSG just ain't going to do that. It remains to be seen, but
The Liverpool wage bill will still be bigger than Inter Milan and AC Milan's next season.
Because we'll
we would still be paying bigger wages than 95% of either players in those two teams. And I'm telling you now, if we, for once, take the fucking reins off and say, do you know what? We are gonna compete at this top table. Say it's Aubameyang. Say Klopp has said, well, Aubameyang is my dream forward, right?
I want him.
I want him, right? And I want Marco Reus as well. And we go to Borussia Dortmund and say 100 million. And we just go, right, Grant, bang, there you go, 100 million.
250 grand a week each.
There you go. That's who we want, right?
And then we just lock up the doors.
That takes us to the next level.
And say there's no more signings this summer.
I agree, but I just...
It's not going to happen.
You can't blame me. I just can't see it.
But the mentality we have is always, well, you know, we're not going to have any other mentality. Like Leicester and stuff.
How many players that we've missed out on that we've watched actually go on to be quality?
No, this is the thing. We monitor them. I don't want us to monitor, right? I want us to go and say, how much does he cost? 100 million. There you go. Bang. And now Southampton is banned on this list, by the way. You can't just go to Southampton and say, how much does he cost? That's the groundsman. Right? What? Lacazette scores. Fucking brilliant. Well, they're grand. Torn up, just for your sake, right? We've gone to Leon and we're going, how much does Lacazette cost? 100 million. They're bank. Job done. Back pocket. Away you go, Liverpool.
But he's one we could get. He is one we could get. Because, French league, Italian league, a lot of them players are on buttons. Douglas Costa wants to leave Bayern apparently because he's on buttons.
Yeah.
So we should be, that should be the star
that
we set
out. Go for them.
But it's still early in this window and there's talk that we've signed Oxlade-Chamberlain. So do you believe yourself?
I do not believe we've signed Oxlade-Chamberlain. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain is out of contract, right? Has 12 months to run or whatever it is at the end of the season, right? And his agent needs interest, okay? Liverpool have probably registered an interest in Oxlade-Chamberlain without putting a deal on the table or a bid on the table. And saying, look, if he's available and you're prepared to sell him, let us know. We might be interested in signing him. And it will depend on who we've signed over the course of the season, over the course of the summer, right? And if he fits the bill and we've missed out on some targets, then yeah, a bit like the way Wijnaldum looks like he was second choice maybe to Götze or someone like that, right? And that's who we got in the end. Yeah?
So you're saying go for your number one target.
And go mental.
But the trick is don't have your number one target
in Southampton for a start.
Yeah, well, that's a start, and then don't have your number two target as a Southampton reserve. So we want Alexis Sanchez. You can't have Alexis Sanchez. He's going to Arsenal.
Ricky Lambert.
We want Ricky Lambert.
Okay.
He's the natural replacement to Alexis Sanchez now that we've lost Luis Suarez.
And so. Balotelli. What? Really?
Yeah. It worked out with Mane though, didn't it?
Yeah.
We probably would have got.
But that's what I'm saying. We want him. There's the money. Thanks. Southampton went, use again.
Oh, hi guys.
Here's the key, lads. Just leave your wallet there.
Yeah, just fucking, they have a fast transfer button. It doesn't even take 2 days to clear the funds.
And the worst thing about the Oxlade-Chamberlain is that he's ex-Southampton as well.
Yeah, he is.
Arsenal signed him from Southampton.
Yeah.
The only one we're missing out on then would be Walcott. He's ex-Southampton. Oh,
anyway.
Anyway, right, so Crystal Palace at the weekend.
Yeah.
We need another 3 points here, don't we?
Masako can't play, so that means they're going to lose 7-0. Which is the only reason that they do anything these days.
Okay. Spanner in the works. Spanner in the works. Ben Heskey is coming back.
Yeah.
Worried about him?
Yeah,
we've no centre backs.
The only time I wasn't worried about him scoring a goal was when he had our jersey. Fucker always scores against us. Always. It's why we bought him, to stop him scoring against us. He just didn't get the memo where he wasn't to stop scoring against other teams as well. We didn't mean stop scoring altogether. We meant just stop scoring against us. Yeah, you have to be worried about him. Sacco, in all honesty, Sacco not playing is a good thing. It just, as much as anything else, it disrupts them.
Yeah.
It disrupts their defence. They have to bring somebody else in. They've had a solid grounding for the last few weeks and it's worked for them.
Mm.
They've picked up enough points that you'd have to think they're safe at this stage. I'd rather be playing them in 2 games' time, to be honest with you. You know, when they're definitely safe and they're just on their jollies.
Whereas now,
that's kind of where I would have been hoping. But
in terms of their forward players, Zaha has been in a great run of form. Like Air fans were getting very excited about him when he was falling over, setting up chances against Arsenal. Like I actually when you look at it, when you're whoa, look what Zaha did. He slipped as he was kicking the ball and it went straight to a Crystal Palace player.
Yeah, well, their left side,
I wouldn't want Zaha either. Like, no, just over.
But now they have fucking shy. They have a couple of players who turn it, like your man Punchin loves a game against Liverpool.
Jason Punchin, yeah, yeah.
Loves a game at Anfield.
Do they still have that beardy fella in the middle?
Yeah, Nick. No, he actually went to the Championship.
Yeah, he's not. He's gone down to Reading or someone.
Villa. Like, he went to Villa.
I really don't like Palace.
But
like,
to be honest with you,
there's nothing very out and
out
about them.
Out and out wingers haven't bowed well for Milner this year. I think that he's been
real wingers.
Yeah, proper winger. Someone like him. Yeah. So that'd be a worry for me now.
Kevin De Bruyne. Now we won't get him out of City, but he'd be a great player.
He's one of their best players. No, he's probably
he's the best player in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Could we tap him off? Yeah. How are you, Kev?
Do you like curried fish and chips? We do a great one on the Walton Breck.
it's at home, it's in Anfield. I suppose when we keep looking at these last five matches, every single one of them looks like a fucking banana skin.
Yeah, but you know what? Fuck it. We just have to be focused. Like, here's the thing. If we don't win 3 of our last 5 games, we don't deserve to be in the Champions League.
Mm.
It's a 60% win rate. It's fucking, you know, you got to be taking 2 points from each game. It's 10 points we need to take from our last 5.
Yep.
If we're not taking 9 and a draw, 3 wins and a draw from those last 5 games, we don't deserve to be there. Mm.
No, it's, I don't disagree with
you. So, simple. You know, if we fuck up this one, then we need to win another 3 and draw one there. You know what I mean?
We've got Palace, Watford,
Palace,
West Ham.
Watford, West Ham, Middlesbrough.
West Ham.
Oh, we got
Southampton.
Borough is last, isn't it?
Southampton at home.
We have Borough last day. Am I wrong?
Borough last day. Yeah.
Borough last day. Yeah, because we're away from home last day of the season, aren't we?
No, we're at home.
At home.
Sure, but then it's not Southampton because
we play Southampton.
We play Southampton away.
Yeah,
now we play Southampton at home and go.
Play Southampton at home.
One of the lads just asked me to go to the game.
That's why I said to play Southampton at home. Listen to what I'm saying.
Listen up, Sean. You're getting it all wrong. Saying we're playing them away.
So we're playing Palace at home, Watford away, West Ham away.
Yeah.
Southampton at home, Borough at home.
Okay, so our last 2 games are at home, are they? Or is Southampton maybe falling a little bit earlier and West Ham?
I think it goes Palace, Southampton, Watford, and then
West Ham, Borough.
Yes.
Borough's last game of the season, I'm nearly certain.
Yeah.
Is that correct, Sean? Sean's just having a wee butcher here.
This.
Yeah.
No, Phil, we play.
Phil has clearly
played Southampton at home, then West Ham away, then Borough at home.
That's what I said.
Only fucking 5 games left, fuck. You think about it.
Now, right, just on that, right? So basically, Palace this week, we want to win, and we might be missing a defence. Fat Sam is going to do aerial bombardment all over the shop, right? So, who starts? Assuming now, the assumptions we're making is that Lucas, Clavin, and Matip don't make it.
Mignolet in goal.
Yeah.
Miller left back.
Yeah.
Lovren Gomez.
Yeah.
Kloin.
Yeah.
Chan, Wijnaldum.
Yeah.
Then Coutinho for me. No, Lallana won't play, I don't think.
No,
Chan straight back in.
No, I don't think.
Probably make the bench.
Probably next week before he's back. Okay. So who goes in with the 2?
That's what I'm saying. Who goes in with the 2?
The 2 behind the 3.
It's gone. Jesus. K-
Kev Jesus Stewart. Goes in. No, he plays for City.
I forgot all about that. You might play Stewart. Grujic, no?
I don't know. This is what I'm asking you. I haven't made up my mind. I'm only going to hear what you're going to say, then I'm going to make something different.
I don't know. That's fucking...
messing with your head, is it?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think now who... It just goes to show how fucking short on bodies we are, isn't it, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, four injuries and...
Firmino, Origi, Coutinho, and then fucking...
anyone?
Charlie Redmond.
does he change it a little bit? Does he go, oh man, he's out, fuck yeah, yeah. I was going to say, but he might play Sturridge.
Yeah?
Does he play Woodburn? Does he put Woodburn wide with Firmino and Origi
and
through the middle
Coutinho.
And drop Coutinho into, that's what I'd do. I'd be dropping Coutinho into that Lallana role. He can play it very well and
or
I always like him there.
Go Chan, Wijnaldum, Coutinho, Firmino, Sturridge, Origi.
All right,
Diamond.
It does just shows you how we could struggle in this game, but we need the 3 points regardless.
Yeah, I don't care about struggling. If we get another 1-0 win, like Borough or fucking West Brom,
the fucking pressure's going to be on as well because United play the Forwards as well. So yeah, if they were to win,
oh yeah,
I'm set up a little bit.
Listen,
yeah,
Chelsea not winning last weekend. Is a pain in the heel.
Yeah, fucking talk about a time for them to bend over. And they've ruined my bet. Them and Newcastle. I hope Newcastle, just for the record, I hope Newcastle go into administration and have to drop out of all four divisions of the Football League. They're absolute pricks. I put a bet on them and Chelsea to win the league at the start of the season at 25-1. And I could have cashed it out for fucking 360 quid a couple of weeks ago. And everyone I know said, let it ride, they're both definitely going to win the league. is it worth the extra 140 quid? And I went, yeah, fuck it, I'll let it ride. Now, I went into Paddy Power the other day and they offered me €24 to cash out. I went, fuck you, Newcastle, you share a cunt. I actually hope they implode now and have to go into the playoffs and don't come up.
Get beaten
by Leeds. What are you talking about that Rafa was going to get the sack after last week?
Yeah, that's a fucking mad shot, though.
It's mad.
My gosh, he's fucking North Korean dictatorship football manager. Fucking mad bastard. He's just off the nut.
Kim Jong Ashley. Yeah, my friend.
He is. He's mad as a fucking box of frogs.
Yeah, he is.
Nobody was getting smashed that blade in the Emirates. The next ball, the camera, the sky cuts him and he's swamping points up in the stand. Didn't give a rat. Lunatic. He doesn't give a bollocks.
But
he hamstrung Rafa. He didn't give him a penny in January. He says, get us up, you fucking freak.
And then I'll give you money then. What about the parachute money? I don't know what you're talking about. I'll just point you over to this new superstore I'm open with.
He spent it all on bleeding cup price Lonsdale tracksuits for Sports Direct.
Loads of people getting a load of a rig here.
He literally bought a load of parachutes. New section skydiving.
A rig girl. Look.
Hello.
You hungry bastard.
Sorry.
Mike Ashley said that over to me.
O'Neill's.
Sorry, I got off topic there with my rant about Newcastle, but I was very disappointed.
I can understand your disappointment. It's definitely shown down your face. Right, so reckon we win against Palace?
Yeah.
Yeah, with all the...
Yeah, all the shit. I think ridiculous statement to make, but I think this is the sort of shit that nearly could
galvanize
us and drag us through these tough games. Whereas sometimes when you have that full squad, they're the ones that actually bend over in these sort of matches. So it could be a case where we feel we're backs against the wall, so we have to change our mentality slightly, and therefore we pull ourselves
and be stronger.
Through. Yeah,
yeah. Shawnee,
a draw. Just walked every week since.
Yeah. Keep it going, buddy. Keep it going.
3-1 draw.
Quality. Okay. Stephen, how are you keeping anyway?
I'm all right, Phil. Yeah, not too bad. Enjoying the break. Enjoying the break from all things Liverpool apart from watching matches.
Good man. Yeah. Did you get any nice Easter eggs for Easter?
No, I'm not eating any Easter eggs at the minute.
But did you get any nice ones?
No, I just said to everybody, don't buy me any.
What did you buy instead?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Just left me without any food. I wonder Bobby Sands died at the moment.
Be gone a while anyway.
Yeah, listen, I've enough on me to keep me going longer than he did.
There's bears who hibernate.
I last twice as long as Bobby.
Sean, do you get any nice Easter eggs?
No.
What?
No.
What's wrong with you?
Listen, I got you've got kids.
I didn't get Easter eggs.
You just got to eat all of theirs.
I didn't get Easter eggs, Phil. I got Cadbury's chocolate eggs. There's not such thing as Easter eggs anymore.
You're a multi-denominational pod. We discriminate equally.
So you got some of those Cadbury's chocolate eggs?
Yes.
Well, which ones did you get now?
I got an Oreo one. No, with the little packet of Oreos in them.
Oh, yeah?
Fucking I have to agree with you. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, the kids got them as well. Phil's anyway. No one bought him an egg. Kids got 40 eggs, so he ate them all.
No, the baby got Easter eggs as well. Just got the baby an Easter egg, did you? Yeah. Grand. Oh, you can't eat chocolate.
Hadn't got teeth yet.
That's point himself.
Yeah, he won't need that. I didn't. No eggs.
No eggs.
No.
Not even a boiled one.
No, actually, that's a lie. I had a couple of fried eggs over the weekend.
Did you?
Very tasty.
Were you anywhere nice this weekend?
I went to Leitrim for a couple of nights, and then I went to Kilronan.
Nice.
I wasn't, actually. It wasn't great. Wouldn't be recommending it.
Wouldn't recommend it.
If anybody listens that works in Kilronan, I apologise, but it wasn't a great stay.
Maybe they should give you another free weekend to make up for.
Well, I'd give it to my mum and dad.
Oh,
you horrible bastard.
I never liked that much.
Yeah. That's about it, really, I suppose.
Yeah, I think we're about there. 48-minute pod. It's edited, it'll be down to about 34.
Well, sure, like, it's quite close to the weekend, quite close to the match, so people won't.
Well, Phil, actually, it is quite close to the weekend. Now that you mention it, it is your big 4-0, isn't it?
No, on 30.
Saturday.
30 on Saturday.
Fucking 40 years of age, you old bastard.
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah. And we'll all be there having a pint, though.
We might Periscope live at about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, sounds good. So every other Saturday from Phil then, yeah? Sitting in the gaff Elvis face on 3 bottles of wine.
It is my 40th. It is, and we have a few special guests over here.
Yeah, we have Big Vinny from
Big
Cologne.
Big Vinny's over from Cologne.
That's a great shout. Trev, you might even see Dead Trev Downey.
Dead Trev. We have to do an incantation from the side of the dock and he'll appear up from the water.
Like the Undertaker, he's just going to come up with smoke.
Yeah. It's Trev! Would you like Trev. A drink, Trev? And the water just comes out with the holes in his body.
Yeah, no, Trev will be there. Vinny's there.
Vinny's there. Yourself, Sean. Paul is turning up as far as Neil is going to be there. Andy may or may not be there. Ray is coming in as well. Carl Torley.
Carl is coming in.
Carl is coming in, yeah. Because we need taxis home and
evening. Yeah.
All right, get in the back, Neil. Carl, you're doing this for free. Now, this is a fair.
Yeah.
Got the meter
busy on. Tonight, is it? Busy tonight. You have a busy night. What
you making that halo at me? Yeah, it's a gift, isn't it?
I'll tell you what, it's worth the 10%. It's worth the 10%. But I've been unbelievable with the business since.
It's always the same show you ask taxi drivers.
Yeah. Oh, that's
so if you do need a taxi, give Carl Torley a show.
Yeah, the Carl Torley taxi app.
Yeah, the Carl Torley taxi app.
It's smaller than the other apps.
Well, we know where his origins came from. Anyway, right, so that's about it. So till next week, I don't know what we'll do it earlier next week. Monday. See you in a few. Well, you won't.
What?
We've only got 6 pods left after this one.
Oh my God. And then it's decision time.
Then it's a disbandment time.
Panda, just fucking, some people just want to watch the world burn.
Yep, yeah, because that's about it. So Sean, have you enjoyed your time on the Day Trippers?
Brilliant, yeah.
Sean's the only one that enjoys doing the podcast because he hasn't been doing it for 4 years. It's brilliant to see his enthusiasm.
He hasn't gone through the same for four years.
Yeah, it's so refreshing, actually. It's one of the only reasons I show up is to see Sean's
enthusiasm.
Yeah, Sean just goes here and he's like, he wants to do stuff. He wants to make shit happen.
When I look at Sean, I see like the 35-year-old version of me.
It's like
a flashback into the past.
Yeah.
He's full of youthful enthusiasm.
When we were all just like, this is the greatest podcast
of all time.
What? No.
how do you feel about Brendan Rodgers? Will he sort it all out? Will he?
As soon as Hodgson gets the sack,
we'll be all grand.
Yeah, the world will be fine.
He'll get rid of Mignolet. We'll be all fine.
Right, see you next week.
Thanks for coming in, Stephen.
Thanks.
Lovely to have you.
I might be here next
Thanks
week.
Thanks again, Sean.
I might show up for the last few weeks.
Well, you don't leave here, I just sit here.
Yeah. Sean lives in the bar.
Sean evicted Trev.
I just come out a little cubby hole out
you're
there.
He's like the text and like, oh, I'll be a bit late. He's gone into the toilet.
He had to leave and go for a walk around the block to make it look like he showed up.
He had to unlock the door for us to get in. I'll be a bit late there. Yeah. Woke up, oh, there he is.
The outro. It's the outro. It is the outro. A big thank you to the lads for coming in tonight. That was Sean and Stephen on my right. A big thank you as ever to the Astro Park for letting us do this here on a week-to-week basis. Only five left or six left or whatever we have left. As ever, get down and Dell will give you a discount on the Astro, the football and all that type of stuff. Also, a big shout-out to our sponsors for tonight's show. It was the Highway House in Offaly, B&B, the B&B in Offaly. So get on down there to the Highway House in B&B in Offaly. Bannerhearn County, Offaly, best place ever for your B&B needs. That's bed and breakfast for the uninitiated. So any of our American listeners coming over to Ireland, Highway House down in Bannerhearn County, Offaly, great old B&B indeed. So that was that. I will talk to you again next week. We have another crew in. We'll probably be dying with a hangover because, as you may have heard there is a little bit of a soiree going on Saturday night. And let's hope that Liverpool pick up the 3 points on Sunday against Crystal Palace to get us a little bit closer to Champions League football so we can sign off the season in style. So, night. God bless. Talk to you next week.
I have PenFed, that's a fact.
I have PenFed, that's a fact.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
No one else gets these rewards.
Sergeant, that is just plain untrue.
What in tarnation?
Sir, PenFed's PowerCash Rewards Card isn't just for military members. Anyone can get cash back on all purchases.
Ah, figgins! You've ruined my favorite song.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/PowerCash. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
If you're snacking on anything but tasty cake, you're making a huge Miss Cake. A fistful of chocolate-covered raisins? Miss Cake. A spoonful of peanut butter? Bigger Miss Cake. Or the worst Miss Cake of all, your kid's Halloween candy. And it's May. If it's not tasty cake, it's a Miss Cake. Because nothing satisfies like a perfectly sweet butterscotch crimpet or rich and creamy chocolate peanut butter candy cake. Tasty cake. Accept no substitutes.
Sports Social Podcast Network.